This is Barry Bloom, the national columnist of MLB.com. Mazel tov to Marty Lurie, and back to him as he celebrates his 20th season of talking baseball here in the Bay Area.
All right, that is Barry Bloom of MLB.com, and I spent some time with Barry 2 weeks ago at Cooperstown and enjoyed the Bill King induction and Claire Smith as well. And Barry, nice to have you with us today. How are you?
Good. Who is that guy?
That's you. That is exactly you. I think it was you. Yeah, thank you so much. 20 years. Who knew when we all started this thing? Who knew this was going to happen? Well, listen, it's nice to have you on. And I thought of you this morning because of the sale of Jeffrey Loria, $1.2 billion, selling the Marlins to a group that includes Derek Jeter as the operating officer and Bruce Sherman, who is sort of a well-known financier in the New York area. And as our young man F.P. Santangelo Jr. here tells me, they're going to try to get other people into the group and try to build something a la the Dodgers. Is that your understanding?
Let's put it this way. If they don't have the people in the group and they don't have the money, Major League Baseball is not going to let them have the team. So, I mean, this can't be a process at this point. They have to have the money on hand. And then what they have to do is if they want to then sell off bits and pieces of it, that, you know, that's what they'll do. But I mean, you have to have, I guess Sherman will be the majority owner, you know, with Jeter having a part. That hasn't been defined yet. And I'm not sure, you know, who else would be involved. I mean, really, the Dodgers are Guggenheim partners, and then, you know, they brought in a bunch of lesser holders, including Magic Johnson, to make up the group. But that was really after the deal was sewed with Major League Baseball. And, of course, that was a much different situation because it came out of a bankruptcy court, didn't come as a straight sale.
Well, this one is a little different. And as you point out, I think Barry Bloom is correct. Sherman's got the money. Derek Jeter's kicking in $25 million, apparently, according to Clark Spencer and reading him in the Herald. But I guess what they're thinking of doing is exactly what you just described, and that is after the deal is done, MLB has got to approve them that they've got the money and take on all that debt that the Marlins have. Then afterwards, bring in some bigger people, sell off some of the shares and bring in a little bit more money, which becomes interesting because, you know, out here we'd love to see Stanton play in left field for the Giants or maybe Ozuna in center field or something like that. How do you think, if you have an opinion, the Marlins will deal with those kinds of issues?
I think they're going to keep those people. I mean, that's probably why they weren't traded at the trade deadline. It was probably contingent on the sale of the team that they keep their assets. I mean, at this point, you've always had an underdeveloped and underfunded organization in Miami under the Lurie watch, which was really much the same in Montreal when he owned the Expos. The MLB, the way it works is that, there's got to be a certain amount of equity, a certain amount of financing that's done, and it's got to be a particular equation. And then there has to be working capital that's going to run the team for a period of time. So with the payroll that they have, which includes the rest of Stanton's $500 million contract, they have to go to MLB and basically say, we've got the wherewithal to do this and make it better. And they inherit a stadium that was paid for by Miami and Dade County. They've got a lot going for them there. So I would say that they're going to hold their assets and build around it. That's a really, really good young team.
Very good. All right, Barry Bloom with us, MLB.com. Aaron Judge, I want to talk a little bit about Aaron Judge because you've spent some time in New York. He struck out in 28 straight games. He's got 150 strikeouts on the year already with 85 walks, 35 homers, 78 RBIs. And they talk about the three true outcomes of baseball: walks, strikeout, or home runs. His OPS is 1.0. .036. He's got a .423 on base percentage, a .613 slugging percentage. He's going to strike out 200 times and be the best player in the American League. What do you think?
Is this anything new? I mean, when Ryan Howard was in his heyday, he was striking out 190 to 200 times a year. And I remember talking to him about that. You know, it's just the way these guys approach the ball. You know, if you look at Bonds as a good example as a power hitter, I mean, he averaged, what, 70, 80 strikeouts a year? He always put the ball in play, or he took a walk. He took 2,500 of them. So it's like, I think Judge, you know, watching him, he's a lot more disciplined this year. You know, he doesn't swing at everything. But at his height, with his swing, he's got huge holes in it that can be exploited all the time. And then the question is, how do you make the adjustment, or do you just run into pitches when they're missed in the middle of the strike zone because you have so much power? But I just think that it's the way things go in baseball. And, you know, I hate these this three true outcome thing. I just read a piece by my friend Dave Scheinen about the three true outcomes and how it's dominating the game and how balls aren't put into play and how the fastballs are being generated by pitchers. And then at the same time, I just read a piece. There are pieces on FanGraph this year and a piece by Tom Bertucci saying that a team like the Yankees, which has the highest velocity pitching staff in the league, are throwing 50% breaking pitches now. So which one is it? I mean, you can't have it be both. And the three true outcomes, you know, which goes to the FIP, which has got famous. There is no three true outcomes. It relies on when a strikeout relies on an umpire, you know, and how he calls the strike zone. You know, a home run relies on a pitcher and how when the pitch hit he comes approaches to the plate, and so does a walk. So where does that batter have complete control of any of those things, as opposed to a ball hit into play, which now the argument is you have the fielder now involved, so it's not a true outcome. I just think it's crazy. I just don't go with it.
Well, I Barry Bloom with us, MLB.com. What it is not putting the ball in play. And that's what Rob Manfred's been upset about. And, you know, baseball is very concerned about it because they want the ball put in play. There's too much. A true outcome is he either strikes out, walks, it's a home run. So the fielder, no one's in the action, so to speak. So that's, I guess that's where that comes from.
No, and that's why I explained to you, just because the fielder is not involved in any of those quote-unquote 3-2 outcomes, there's a lot of variables which go into those three things too.
Right.
It's not just the hitter doesn't have complete control of those three things, hardly. You know, as we talked about many times, you know, the nuances of the game are pretty intricate. You know, it's a simple game in terms of, you know, what you have to do in terms of three poor balls, three strikes, three outs, how many runs you have to score in nine innings to win a game, how you do it. But then when you start going into the intricacies of how you get there, it's a very complex game, and that's why I love, you know, the little games within the games where some incident in a ball game could wind up turning the whole game, turning a whole series, and turning even a whole season. You know, and then how did you get there? How did that start? You know, where did it go? You know, I had here in Phoenix talking with the Cubs are here, and talking with Joe Madden yesterday, and he's a guy, they like analytics, obviously, but he's a guy who is definitely in the camp of these are human beings who are producing these things, and there's the human emotion behind all of the numbers that statisticians use, and I make that argument all the time, that those numbers are all compiled and those outcomes are all compiled because of the mood the guy's in. Did he fight with his wife that day? Is he injured? Is he sick? Is he angry at the manager? I mean, all these things come into play to produce those numbers. And it's the same thing with this, you know, true outcome. And I think you're talking about a different issue here. Putting the ball in play has nothing to do with the three true outcomes. It's just a matter of putting the ball in play. And the first thing I would do, part of this, is the shift. The shift is killing the game, and it's killing the ability of guys to, you know, to put the ball in play. And guys aren't good enough hitters situationally in this era to be able to go against the shift. So if you have the shift going over, it's killed Brian McCann. It's killed Schwarber this year. Then outlaw the shift. And I think you'll get a better outcome with balls hit and play.
All right. Barry Bloom, you may be my new philosopher. George Contos got traded. I may have to call you for the philosophy of baseball.
You know what? I thought of that immediately because I had such a great time listening to you last time I was in San Francisco on the bench,
right,
talking to George, and I thought about you. That what a loss that was because he's such a great kid.
We're looking for the new one. Maybe Denard Span, maybe Nick Hundley. We're going to come up with a new one. All right, last question for you. Always a pleasure to really get your perspective on baseball. Arizona, Colorado, both going to make it as a wild card, or who's the most vulnerable?
I think they're both vulnerable at this point, and I think that we've reached an existential point here in the Diamondback season. They were in the driver's seat. They were 6.5 games up the other day. The Cardinals have won 7 in a row, and they're coming. You've got a very tight race between 4 teams in the Central that are all within 3 games of each other right now and all around 500. The Diamondbacks are short pitching. Really, they have no middle inning relief at this point. They've got 2 pitchers down with Robbie Ray and Shelby Miller gone, and Miller's gone for the season. Ray will probably be back soon. They're not good when they can't get through the 5th or 6th innings with their starters. They don't even have Randall Delgado right now as a long reliever. So they're stuck, and they're starting to play with fatigue, and in situations where they were producing earlier in the season, they're not. And saying all that, though, as I wrote the other day, you know, they've got 9 games left against the Giants, 6 against the Padres, 4 against the Mets, and 3 against Miami. And they have the control of this if they just don't completely go in the tank.
We'll see. But I agree with you. Seeing Arizona last weekend, even seeing the Cubs and watching the Cardinals get hot, this is what baseball's all about in August. Hey, Barry, thanks so much for the chat today, and we'll catch up with you shortly.
All right. Thanks, Marty. It was great to see you, too, in Cooperstown. That was a lot of fun.
It was. I was glad you were there. That's Barry Bloom, MLB.com. More coming up.